the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to the news segment of Vatican Insider. As usual, I first tell you about my guest in the interview segment and then move on to the highlights of the week at the Vatican. This week, join me for part three of my conversation with three members of the Lourdes Volunteers, including Marlene Watkins, who founded this apostolate in 2000, and learn more about their celebrated virtual pilgrimage to Lourdes. The team, a network favorite guest, was at EWTN headquarters in Alabama on Friday. Now to the news. Sunday, March 10th, the first Sunday of Lent, at the Angelus, Pope Francis reflected on the day's gospel that told how Jesus was led into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil. The Pope explained that the three temptations Jesus faced indicate three paths that the world always proposes, promising great success. He then highlighted the greed of possession, the path of human glory, and instrumentalizing God. All these temptations, he said, are really illusions that promise success and happiness, but in reality are all completely foreign to God's way of acting. In fact, said the Pope, they actually separate us from God because they're the work of Satan. At the end of the Angelus, the Pope asked for prayers for himself and collaborators in the Roman Curia, who later that afternoon would leave the Vatican to start a retreat. In fact, they departed the Vatican Sunday afternoon for Ariccia to spend the next 5 days on retreat. Ariccia, a 20-mile drive south of Rome, is home to the Casa Divine Maestro, the Divine Master Retreat House, run by the Pauline Fathers. The retreat began at 6 p.m. Sunday with Eucharistic Adoration, then Vespers at 6:45 and dinner at 7:30. The retreat master is Italian Benedictine Abbot Bernardo Francesco Maria Gianni. Annual retreats for the Pope and Roman Curia trace their origins to Pope Pius XI, who on December 20, 1929, marked the 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination by publishing the encyclical Mens Nostra on the promotion of spiritual exercises. This was addressed to patriarchs, primates, archbishops, bishops, and other local ordinaries in peace and communion with the Apostolic See. In that encyclical, the Pope informed the faithful that he had arranged to hold spiritual exercises every year in the Vatican, a custom still practiced by the Holy Father and ranking members of the Roman Curia. In the early years, this retreat was held during the first week in Advent, but now takes place in the first full week of Lent. Cardinal Achille Ratti, Archbishop of Milan, was elected to the papacy on February 6, 1922, and he took the name of Pius XI. He died on February 10, 1939. Monday, March 11, there was a papal telegram of condolences for the victims of the Ethiopian's airline crash that occurred Sunday in Ethiopia. Pope Francis offers prayers for the deceased from various countries and commends their souls to the mercy of Almighty God. The Pope also sent heartfelt condolences to the families and all who mourn this tragic loss, and he invoked the divine blessings of consolation and strength. Wednesday, March 13, marked the 6th anniversary of the election of Pope Francis. He was on retreat, of course, outside of Rome, with 65 ranking members of the Roman Curia. Before the morning mass on Wednesday, Italian Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, the prefect emeritus of the Congregation for Bishops, addressed the Holy Father on behalf of the retreat participants. On behalf of all those present, I would like to tell you, Your Holiness, that we rejoice and are full of joy in being able to celebrate this morning Mass together with you and presided over by you. I would also like to tell you that we ask that the Lord be your light, support, and comfort in your task of confirming your brethren in the faith, of being the foundation of unity, and of showing everyone the way that leads to heaven. He concluded by asking the Holy Father's blessing and assuring him they are truly close to him with great affection and sincere devotion. Thursday, March 14, a telegram of condolences signed by Pope Francis was sent to Belgian Cardinal Joseph de Kessel, Archbishop of Malines-Bruxelles, upon the death Thursday of his predecessor, Cardinal Gottfried Danius, at the age of 85. The telegram said in part, quote, "This zealous pastor served the Church with dedication not only in his diocese, but also at the national level as president of the Conference of Bishops of Belgium, while being a member of various Roman dicasteries. Attentive to the challenges of the contemporary church, Cardinal Daniels also took an active role in various synods of bishops, including those of 2014 and 2015 on the family. He has been called to God at this time of purification and of walking toward the resurrection of the Lord. End quote. With the death of Cardinal Daniels, the College of Cardinals is now composed of 222 members, 122 of whom are cardinal electors, that is, under the age of 80 and eligible to enter into conclave to elect a new pope. 100 cardinals are over the age of 80 and thus ineligible to vote in a conclave. Of the 122 electors, 18 were created by St. John Paul, 47 by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, and 57 by Pope Francis. Friday, March 15th, at the end of the spiritual exercises, Francis thanked retreat master Italian Benedictine abbot Bernardo Francesco Maria Gianni, saying he was struck by the work put in to help us understand that God is always present in humanity. This work helped all those attending the spiritual exercises to enter, as the Word has done, into the human being. And the Pope noted this was first done by God in the incarnation of the Word, quote, undivided and unconfused, end quote. Pope Francis said he saw in Father Bernardo the same courage the Council Fathers had when they signed the document Gaudium et Spes, a document, he said, is the one which has perhaps, quote, encountered the most resistance, even today, end quote. Francis explained this, though he admitted to feeling a little disoriented when attending the first of the meditations. But then, he concluded, I understood the message. Also Friday, Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin sent a telegram in Pope Francis's name for the victims of the attack in New Zealand on Friday, March 15th. His Holiness Pope Francis was deeply saddened to learn of the injury and loss of life caused by these senseless acts of violence at two mosques in Christchurch, and he assures all New Zealanders, and in particular the Muslim community, of his heartfelt solidarity in the wake of these attacks. Mindful of the efforts of the security and emergency personnel in this difficult situation, His Holiness prays for the healing of the injured, the consolation of those who grieve the loss of their loved ones, and for all affected by this tragedy. Commending those who have died to the loving mercy of Almighty God, Pope Francis invokes the divine blessings of comfort and strength upon the nation. Following the attack, the Catholic bishops of New Zealand addressed a message to members of the Muslim community. The message concluded peace, salaam, and was signed by all five Catholic bishops of New Zealand. Well, those are the week's news highlights at the Vatican. Stay here to learn more about the Lourdes Volunteers and how you can go on a virtual Lourdes pilgrimage. Welcome to the Q&A segment of Vatican Insider. Today's question is one I am often asked. What's the proper material for the sacred vessels at Mass? I've answered this before, but it bears repeating, given the misuse in some churches of materials for these vessels. I asked a good friend about this, Bishop Peter Elliott, Emeritus Auxiliary in Melbourne, Australia, because he's written extensively on the liturgy and liturgical uses. Question. Pottery and glass chalices are on sale in some religious shops. Are chalices made of glass, crystal, or ceramics permissible? Answer. Chalices made of glass and ceramics, in fact, are not envisaged in the Roman Rite. Concerning the materials used for sacred vessels, the general instruction of the Roman Missal GIRM, number 290, says, quote, preference is to be given to materials that do not break easily or become unsuitable. Also, quote, the cup of a chalice is to be made of non-absorbent material. That's GIRM number 291. So the question is, what constitutes an easily breakable chalice? And this is resolved by two practical questions. A. What happens when this chalice falls on the ground? B. What happens when the server or celebrant knocks the cruet against the lip of the chalice? The answers to these questions, which embody common incidents, are obvious to anyone who has seen cracked, patched, and chipped ceramic chalices, which have also clearly, quote, become unsuitable since the time they came into vogue in the 1970s. The fact that some religious supply companies continue to sell such vessels does not mean they are licit or suitable for the liturgy. Bishop Elliott also said, a chalice made of durable, precious stones, for instance, could be unbreakable, and some of these may be seen in museums. a chalice consisting of a metal cup set firmly into a secure base of noble glass, enamel, or ceramics, is permissible according to the General Instruction No. 291. But worthiness is a further dimension of this problem. Rarely does one see chalices made of glass or ceramics that are worthy of the Eucharistic sacrifice. Certainly, vessels made of fine crystal may be worthy and are often of value, but they are also very fragile, as those who use them discover. I hope that answers everybody's question.
Officials in the Philippines claim Islamic militants are harboring a would-be suicide bomber. That group, loyal to ISIS, is accused of plotting the bombing attack at a Catholic cathedral last month.
During his Sunday address in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis calls for the protection of human trafficking victims.
In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court has blocked a Louisiana pro-life law from taking effect.
News headlines you can have faith in. Weekdays at the top of the hour on EWTN Radio.
And hello again, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished speaking with our good friend Teresa Tomeo about her latest work, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. Comes with a study guide from our friends at Our Sunday Visitor. I'm already living a 24/7 life as a Catholic person in my secular responsibilities. How do I fit this Catholic aspect into that? Is it on top of it, or does it permeate it?
I think it should permeate it. When you have that encounter, your whole worldview changes, and this is what I talk about in the book. And when you're incorporating Scripture into life on a daily basis, prayers, and we have all kinds of tips in the book, and we have a map like how you can plan out your day in terms of prayer, you can see how simple it is and how you can really utilize your time. And then before you know it, you are a 24/7 Catholic.
Teresa Tomeo, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. It's also a study guide, OSV, and available through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Look for the full interview coming soon on the Bookmark Show. This is Doug Keck, and this has been a Bookmark Brief. We shall see you next time. Thanks for stopping by.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Yeah, at first I love the show, but I just wanted to call to encourage that previous caller who had called about the Latin Mass and just encourage him to keep giving it a try and especially try to meet some folks outdoors and let his wife meet some people, and that does make that experience so much better. And thank you for your historical background, and it was a good interpretation of the history.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, here we are again at the interview segment of Vatican Insider, and today I continue my conversation with three members of an American apostolate, Lourdes Volunteers. I talked to Marlene Watkins, who founded the Volunteers in the Jubilee year 2000. She's a terrific storyteller. Joining Marlene is Father Rob Hyde of St. Margaret's Church in Syracuse, New York, spiritual advisor to the Volunteers, and Deacon Dan Ravetto of Los Angeles, vice president of the Lourdes Volunteers. Wait until you hear how they bring Lourdes, a virtual Lourdes, to prisoners. Great stuff. That's next. Now, let's just take one example. You go into a prison. You have received, because we were talking about a visit you made to a maximum security prison. Do you explain at the very beginning, here's how this pilgrimage unrolls, here's what you're going to see, hear, touch the rock, and then you explain the indulgence to them?
Well, we're in all different kinds of facilities. I know Deacon Dan and I have been in juvenile facilities, which is a great opportunity to have a turning point, a change in the young life.
Oh.
We're in different levels of security. We've been in supermax prisons. There's only 38 in the U.S. And we have, we of course go work with the prison system, often with a deacon or someone at the prison itself. And they are allowed to sign up. They have different numbers. We've also been in refugee detention centers where there's hundreds and hundreds present. Sometimes it's a specific number in a group. And they can come in of their own choice to come and experience this. And it's really profound every single time. And we're so excited at EWTN that Father John Palmieri was speaking to the prison in Illinois that they were able to have, after 3 years of hard work of a wonderful woman, to be able to broadcast into the prisons. And so we come in with the virtual pilgrimage. First of all, I want to say I'm much thinner on the radio, so I want to thank you, Joan. But, lots of times the prisoners come in, they don't really know what it is. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't have understood what a virtual pilgrimage is.
They may have never heard of Lourdes.
Yes, right. Yeah. So they just sign up, some of them just because they don't have to be shackled for an hour. So, you know, for me personally, as a virtual pilgrimage guide, I ask that they be free and not be shackled so they can make the sign of the cross. And so they'll often come in just like the rest of us would. We wouldn't really know what a plenary indulgence is. What's a virtual pilgrimage? What's Lord's? That they'll.
And you don't know, if I can interrupt, like how many are even Christian. Well, you can presume they're Christian or what?
No, actually, yeah. We don't know. And, yeah. And everyone is welcome. Everyone's welcome to come. And I have to ask Dan also, Deacon Dan, but I have found that we're always greeted with respect. I have found that they are, they might have come in, for example, I'll say to them, well, you probably came in today maybe because you heard there was going to be a woman here. And I said, you get an old, fat, gray-haired lady. I said, it's like a bait and switch. But God did what he had to get you here today. And it kind of breaks the ice. We call everyone by name, the dignity of each person. And we have a virtual pilgrimage. Now, usually, we're guiding the pilgrimage, and there's not a question and answer from the people who are present. But not in the prison. If they have a question, they're going to ask it. And they're not going to wait because their time is limited with us.
Wow,
they'll raise
sure.
their hand and say, are you telling me that I can be forgiven? And this isn't a supermax in a maximum security. You know, as they say, we're not just here for a parking ticket.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And you're telling us that the Pope said we can be forgiven. Yes. So we go over the plenary indulgence. And some of them are weeping because they have really never believed they could be forgiven. We talk about the sacrament of reconciliation, but they feel that their crime is so unforgivable that they need the Pope to say that they can be forgiven. So I tell them what Holy Father Francis has said, for example, and even the Holy Fathers before him, and they don't have access to see that always. And they're very moved by it. So they want that plenary indulgence. They want to have this experience. They love Bernadette. She lived in a jail. She was poor. She couldn't read and write. Her family wasn't respected. And they can see in her this wholeness.
Somebody they can relate to.
Yes, yeah. And the purity of her. They so love and honor that. So, and we're in women's prisons too, by the way. It's not just men's prisons.
Right.
Obviously, they're always separated. But we have just seen such profound, we've been a witness. It's such a privilege to be able to be in a place where someone can have reflective time and
sure.
can try to change their life and have a conversion. And we've seen it, and so have the prison systems we've been in. And even in Africa, for example, too. So it's just a great grace to share that and have that opportunity. So if there's anybody there who loves someone who's in a prison, please contact us. We will we'll work with you.
And I'll be putting all of that information on my blog,
Thank
too.
You. But, you know, I have to say, I love being in the schools, too. Because now when you're talking to young people, they have that opportunity to hear more, learn more, and understand what's a miracle, that it really is true. These aren't just stories.
Yeah.
And I think also in the parishes, it's where an entire parish, regardless of who has a passport, who has money, who can walk, who cannot, they can all come together as a parish and go on a pilgrimage in less than 2 hours.
Sure.
So it's
And a wonderful thing for those who, yes, they really would love to go to Lourdes. Doesn't look like I'll ever make it, but, you know, maybe this time I can. No, I just want to ask you, Deacon Dan, you did a virtual pilgrimage in a youth center?
Probation camps.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, for young people who are found themselves on the wrong path and were incarcerated and are doing time. And it's just like Marlene said, they can identify with Bernadette. They can relate to her. And they, in the end, they find hope. And whether or not they are Christian or not, they can delve deeper into the fact that they have a mother in heaven that loves them. The mother of God is their mother too, as Jesus gave her to us. And they feel that. They may have been abandoned by their mother or father, but they do have a mother.
Well, you certainly give them food for thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they've been on the wrong side of the track for so many years and they're not living the life of luxury in any kind of a prison or whatever, all of a sudden somebody comes in who seems to care for them, who seems to care for their soul, and then they kind of learn they have a soul. You know, they heard that word, but what's the soul? And all of a sudden they also have a mother, too. So just an amazing ministry. And I'm looking at some of the notes I made, and, of course, we could actually talk till dinner. We talked through dinner on a couple of occasions, didn't we? One aspect that so struck me the first night we met was how especially in bringing sick pilgrims or helping pilgrims who aren't going to Lourdes with your group. They want to go to Lourdes, but they have a physical ailment, and airlines had to become aware of certain passengers and their needs. And you've been working with airlines in this regard.
Right. Well, we work exclusively with Air France because of the ones who fly to Lourdes and to Po, and their SkyTeam partner in the U.S. would be Delta. And we've had a great partnership. It was a real difficult beginning because they weren't accustomed to having somebody who was a quadriplegic or somebody who was using oxygen. The concentrators were approved with us working with the airlines for over almost a year to have those oxygen concentrators approved for flight. And we bring people on a ventilator, and we have physicians who think that we're not talking about a ventilator, that we're mistaking it for a concentrator. No, we're talking about a real ventilator, that if that ventilator fails, that person dies. And they know that when they're traveling, the risks involved. We review all of that. But we have this fabulous medical team. They are amazing doctors and nurses, but we don't have enough of them. So if you're a physician or you're a nurse or a physical therapist or a respiratory therapist, if you're a medical professional, please contact us. It is such a life-changing experience. They're dedicated to the sick. We have people on kidney dialysis. And you know what's interesting, Joan? It's not covered by insurance. We had to inquire, why not? Because the insurance companies in America don't believe that someone on dialysis can leave the country. So they just don't have any coverage for it. So
my very best friend, a roommate from college, came to visit me several times.
Yeah.
And she was on dialysis. We set her up here in Rome for one visit, but she could travel.
Yep. But most people don't realize that. So we set it up. We arrange all of that. We have a team that flies specifically for the needs of what that pilgrim is. So we bring people who are very near dying. It's their dying wish to go to Lourdes. And they would rather die on the way than to have never tried to go. And their family members support that. So we bring people who are very sick. Some people who aren't very sick, we bring, like we say, the walking wounded. But I want to say, and maybe Father and Deacon can speak to this too as ordained, but we've also had people come with us who are really broken inside. And we have a lot of people who are suffering. They're wounded. They look great, but
A different kind of healing
is needed. We've also had some victims of priestly abuse who've come and then found their way back to the church or found their way of a healing. It's been a profound grace. And I really believe it's because it's the Immaculate Conception. If we have an issue with purity through our own fault or someone else's, if there's an impurity issue, she's the solution. She is purity, and she's the mother. You know, my husband is sitting outside, but we have 5 sons. You know, when they were little, you know, it's like he did it.
So
maybe the wrong one was yelled at or spanked. Or
something. My brother and I always said of the 2 younger ones, the little kids did it.
Yes, there you go. So, you know, they would come in and cry to mom because dad, you know, got the wrong one or whatever. But sometimes we just need to go to our mother. And I think all of us.
So there are different kinds of healing. And I do want to interject. I don't remember the whole story. I think you all know it. Well, I think it's just a couple of weeks ago that the 70th official healing was recognized. Other people have been there, gone home, and have been healed of something, but the one recognized by the church, by Lourdes, there have only been 70 in all these years. So,
well, there's over 7,000 cases that are medically inexplicable cures. That means science cannot explain it. There's a blind man who can see. They can't say how that happened. There's a sick person who's living, or, you know, a person who was, you know, paralyzed and they're walking and mobile. They can't explain it, but it's up to the bishop of that person's diocese to say, it's the hand of God, it's the church.
Yeah.
And in Lourdes, they said after 3 miracles, like the canonization process, we don't need to keep proclaiming them. But some people choose to go forward, and the medical bureau, we were just with Sister Bernadette last week. Yes, and she's miracle number 70, and she's lovely and sweet and humble and joyful. And I find that with every one of the miracles
that
I've
met. How blessed you were. Wow.
Yeah. We are blessed. So there is that kind of public, and we need to have that, just like we have the Gospels. We have the public ministry of Jesus Christ healing, where we can see it. And then there's probably a lot of miracles he did that we didn't see.
They call the Holy Land the 5th Gospel. Maybe Lourdes is the 6th, you know. But I'm looking at our time, and we're getting towards the end, and I would love just some final words from both of you, from Father Rob Hyde and then Deacon Dan.
Well, I would just say, if you can get to Lourdes either as a pilgrim or a volunteer. They always need them. That would be wonderful. Or if you can have the virtual pilgrimage in your parish where you are, we it really is the thing we do that reaches the most people.
Sure.
And so we're happy, and it brings Lourdes to so many people who could just never go. And we'd love, love, love to be in your parish. I shouldn't say we, because I don't do them. It's Marlene and Dan do them.
The apostle at the ministry does, yeah. Exactly.
And finally, I'll just echo what Father said. It's a real privilege to be someone who can help volunteer and serve those who want to make pilgrimage to Lourdes, or help share the message of Lourdes to people who otherwise could never come. And if it's in your heart to come to Lourdes or to serve others, we encourage you to come to our website or give us a call. Right. And we would very much love to talk to you about how we can help share this experience with you.
And I'll put it on my blog, but it's also lourdesvolunteers.org.
And we can write a prayer petition, or we can send you Lourdes water. If you would like Lourdes water, you can go to our website. You can write a prayer petition, and we bring it right to the grotto for you.
And I do know, because we've shared this over two meals, you've had some recent extraordinary experiences in travel that cannot be talked about now, but someday will be talked about, written about, and lived by many more people. I feel privileged to have shared. I'm getting chills as I speak. I feel privileged to have shared those amazing stories with you of your, especially you two, Deacon Dan and Marlene. So I want to thank my guests today. I think you can tell by our talking, we could just sit here probably, but we'd need a little pasta and wine, I think, and talk for another 2 hours. It's an amazing apostle and a beautiful ministry. I will be publishing more about it, and you'll probably be seeing them on TV. When they're on TV, I'll shoot you all a little note. So merci bien, grazie, thank you, one and all. God bless you in your work.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.